And welcome.
Welcome into Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squirt Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squirt Circle with Ryan Owen,
Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live!
Woo! And welcome, ladies and gents. Grapple Talk heads, this is Nick Ragnar joined by AC Riley and Jesse Von Ruden. Guys, huge episode for us today. We got our end of the year awards. We're handing them out. Gift cards to Taco Bell or something like that, I think we're doing. Is that right? No?
I don't know if we're doing that. I think the jury's still out on what we're officially doing. I mean, Taco Bell.
How unplanned are we? I mean, we're giving these awards out today, and we don't have a plan of what
I will say this much. Taco Bell gift card, that is in the running right now for the best idea.
I think it's one of the only guys you want to do, like, monetary value.
Like, we could do 5, 10, 15.
I mean, plaques are cool and everything, but it's kind of like, hey.
But you can't use, like, you can't get free tacos from a plaque most of the time, right?
Well, it depends.
Depends on the plaque, though.
Taco plaque.
Taco plaque?
Yeah, yeah. You get a free
like,
taco.
I feel like if you have a Nobel Peace Prize plaque, they might be like, here's a burrito.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Thanks for saving the world.
So coming up, we will be giving out quite a few awards. We have our Breakout Wrestler of the Year. Mm-hmm. We also have the Rookie of the Year that we're handing out. Tag Team, the Workhorse, Feud of the Year, our Social Media Celebrity Award, Be on the Lookout Award, our Women's Award, and we'll also hand out the prestigious Wrestler of the Year award. So stick around for those. We actually have quite a few interviews lined up as well, so we'll be able to hear from some of the award recipients. So it's going to be a pretty jam-packed show, guys.
Definitely. And then for everybody that's kind of wondering how we determined the award recipients, at the end of the day, the awards kind of came to what us three decided to do, like we have done for the past 2 years now. However, you know, we asked social media, we asked our Facebook fans to kind of help us with some recommendations because, you know, like we've said before, we only go to so many shows. We can't be at every single show in the Midwest. So that's why we have our fans say, hey, check out this guy. And it's almost that opportunity to sell why should we consider this guy as the award recipient. And at the same time, every time you nominate somebody, that was actually going towards our social media award because obviously the more times that name pops up, it's on social media. And as a result, they must be popular at least in the interwebs.
The difference between the awards that, and, you know, the Indie Power Rankings kind of unrevealing their top 100 over the past couple of days, the difference between what they're doing and what we're doing is we kind of focus on the Midwestern independent scene.
Yeah.
A lot of it obviously coming from here in Wisconsin because that's what we get to see the most, but we only have some Minnesotans on here as well, Illinois workers, things like that.
Indianans.
So, Indiana. So,
are you
I
guys going to leave Iowa out?
Iowans.
Iowans.
No Canadians, though.
No Canadians. Not from the Midwest.
Because that's
international.
Yeah, that's it. That's international and also not in the United States.
This is an international talk. This is grapple talk.
I mean, if it was international talk,
it'd be tough.
If you want rankings in Canada, then make sure you tune into the Indie Power Rankings Top 100 because I think there's a couple Canadians. Tyson Dukes was actually one of the people in the Top 100.
Oh, cool.
Personally, though, guys, I really like how the list turned out. I think we got quite a hall of Grapple Talk fame going on this year. I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but it's a good list, though, I think.
Yeah, it was very tough in, like, certain categories, especially Rookie of the Year this year.
Yeah.
We saw a lot of really good young, up-and-coming talent. You know, it was one of those things where you go from having no rookies 1 year to, like, maybe one guy. I mean, this year it was, like, 15, 20, and they were all good. Like, they're all legit, and the scene is definitely in good hands, especially with rookies like these guys.
Yeah, definitely. I think there was a lot of categories here that we actually had a really hard time determining. I mean, I know Wrestler of the Year, it boiled down to three guys, but at the same time, it was kind of making a case for each one of them, and it's just like, oh, man. They all deserve it, but just, oh, if we have to be nitpicky, then this guy just did maybe a little bit more. And then Workhorse, you know, some of the other ones.
That was tough, too, yeah.
Workhorse was tough. You know, Feud, it was pretty straightforward because we only had really a couple to really choose from. But ultimately, we went with the one that everybody was talking about. Tag Team was a tough one that took us a while to get to. Like you said, Breakout and Rookie. That was kind of hard to configure who would be the rookie and who would be the breakout and who would be
the breakout one
was tough too because there's a lot of people doing a lot of things and breaking out, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, this was really tough. And as Riley kind of alluded to earlier, obviously, mm-hmm. when we put that post up there, you know, we were looking just for some nominations, ideas, and things like that. And don't discredit that. I mean, yeah, that did kind of play an outcome in the social media celebrity award, but. We took a lot of those nominations to heart and really included those in our conversations amongst each other, and I think that actually made quite a bit of difference. So.
And I think, too, looking forward to 2017, you see a name pop up so many times. Hey, you should have this guy be this recipient because of everything he's doing. Once you hear that name, you kind of start paying attention to that person. I mean, look at in previous times, we'll talk to Congo Kong and Anthony Toatelli, guys we've never met in person, never seen live, but just the fact that the internet is buzzing about guys like that, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, maybe I should start paying attention to these guys, because if everybody's talking about them, I must be missing out on something. Then you go watch them, and you're like, I was right.
Yeah. And so this should be exciting. Like I said, we got the interviews lined up, so we'll have, five or six interviews tonight, I think,
on our
podcast. So mm-hmm. we're going to get a lot of awesome insight, looking real forward to it. And, guys, another year in the books. Three end of the year award shows. How weird is that?
It's tradition now, I guess.
That is
right?
Weird. I feel like we started doing this
tradition.
Yesterday. Yeah, you know,
it's funny too, because the year it kind of snuck up on us at the end, because we just had Christmas last week, of course, and then all of a sudden it was wrapping up with the weekend. And you're like, hey, we should probably just start figuring out who we want to get these awards out to, and even sending the message. I was thinking, man, it's weird to think that 2016 is almost over. You know, been a great year for.
Not really.
Well, I mean,
the end of the year always sneaks up on everyone, because you're always thinking about other things, and then all of a sudden, the 26th Boxing Day hits, and you're like, wow, we got 5 days left.
Yep. I think it gets to that last week, and then you're like, oh wow, it's almost, mm-hmm. we're almost at the end of the road for 2016, so to speak.
Did you start singing Boys to Men?
I did not. Did not do that.
No.
Although maybe. No.
A little bit.
I didn't do that. No, I didn't. Hmm. But it's been a good 2016 for everybody, and a lot of great wrestling here in the area, a lot of great wrestling that we've been able to attend, and even great wrestling that we hear about. A lot of stuff happening here in the Midwest, here in the United States, here in the national scene and everything, so and in the international scene as well. So it's been a good year, so can't wait to see what 2017 has in store.
Definitely. So why don't we actually take a quick break? We'll come back and we'll start getting out these awards and getting some of our award recipients on the lines. You are listening to Grapple Talk's End of the Year Award. We'll be right back.
This is Stacey Shadows.
We've said it numerous times that Stacey Shadows is one bad bitch.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk, the best indie wrestling podcast right now known to man.
What's up, guys? It's one of three of your favorite wrestling podcast hosts, AC Riley from Grapple Talk here. Are you a listener or even a host of another podcast and you just don't know how to get the word out about the podcast? Send us a promo advertising what your show is about to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not a podcast host, but maybe something independent wrestling that you're looking to get the word out about, shoot us an email with your promo as well. We don't discriminate. Let's face it, it's tough for the small guys to get the word out. So what better way than to band together with fellow small guys, aka advertising on a podcast? It's that easy to do. Just send a promo to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com and we'll make sure people know about you, your podcast, or maybe something else related to independent wrestling. Hopefully you're enjoying the show. And as always, support independent wrestling.
This is the Monster of the Midwest, Sadist. There's a couple of things I really, really like. I like to hurt people, and I like Grapple Talk. So I'm going to keep listening.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Darren Corbin.
I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts, and that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Rudin, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, it looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smart Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling. WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews with some of the Midwest up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter, at Smart Money. Check us out.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
If you want to ask me, you want to ask me, ask me. And say, hey, Nicholas Joseph Ragnar, what just happened in the middle of the ring? Bull.
Keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
Yeah, I'm cussing on TV because I don't care.
Alrighty, ladies and gents, it's time to kick off our Grapple Talk end of the year awards. And we're kicking things off with our breakout wrestler of the year. This one going to a guy that took some time off from the ring, served his country, and now is back, I would say, better than ever. We got Ben McCoy on the phone right now. Ben McCoy, you're a breakout wrestler of the year for 2016. Congratulations, man.
Thank you very much. Very unexpected, but very much appreciated.
I think it's really interesting because, you know, you always hear that line every now and then. You say, don't call it a comeback. And honestly, with you, that's absolutely perfect way to describe it because, you know, some people you consider, oh, man, that guy hasn't wrestled in 5 years. He's going to be so rusty. You came back in January, and it looked like you never took any time off. It looked like maybe you took a week off, but not 5 years.
Thank you. Yeah, I trained really hard. I made my mind up to come back. In the fall of 2015, and I had taken about 4 months to really get into shape as much as possible and rolled around in the ring a lot, any chance I could get leading up to that match to start everything. And it's funny because really coming back, I was just thinking about working 12 shows for the year, and by the time it was all said and done, I wound up working for 16 companies in 4 different states and 2 different countries. So everything kind of snowballed, but it was a great year, and I'm very proud of my body of work, and I look forward to doing even bigger things next year.
So you go from the proverbial 12 matches, you're like, okay, I think I can do these 12, and then you're all over the place. What was that moment you're just like, man, I can't believe I'm doing this again, and I'm just absolutely killing it?
A July 4th weekend, for sure. We did a show. We did 3 days at Six Flags Great America inside the theme park for Dave Hero and Tony Scarpone. And I wrestled 6 times in 3 days. And I remember going into that and thinking, oh my God, I don't know if I can handle this. This is a pretty tall order. And none of them were easy matches. They were all, you know, second part of the show and big matches. And, you know, I got to cap it all off wrestling Arya Daivari on July 4th. And that was awesome. And just had a wonderful experience there. And I think that was kind of the moment where I was like, I think I'm back now. I think everything's kind of the way it was. But to be honest with you, better in a lot of ways. I find that I don't question myself as much going into matches anymore. I find myself a lot more confident in what I can do and who I can work with.
So, Ben, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about The Godfather, so I'm going to throw a Godfather line at you right now. So, when you were going from just planning on 12 matches for the year, and then all of a sudden you started doing, for example, with the 4th of July show, 6 matches, was there any point where you thought to yourself, just when I think I'm out, they pull me back in?
I had a couple of those moments. Even before then, I think when we went to Stevens Point for Wisconsin Pro Wrestling in April, that was kind of, it was the first real big show I had kind of done since coming back in January. You know, I had done, you know, your regular independents, but, Stevens Point's a little bit of a different animal. It's a lot bigger. You know, they wound up drawn really well there. I think there was over 400 people. And, that was kind of one of the moments where it was like, oh, man, just when I thought, you know, I could just take it easy and wrestle here and there. Now here I am tagging with my brother for the first time in 6 years. And, you know, we're tearing the house down with guys like Jordy Lee and Pornstash. So,
what was the overall want for you to come back to the squared circle? I guess kind of describe that a little bit. Taking so much time off, and I mean the months leading up to January, what was that like for you?
Oh, it was incredibly difficult. I guess I really wrestled with it a lot. I mean, after I did my comeback match in 2014 in December against Sadist for GLCW. At Blizzard Brawl there, it was very high. I had a lot of people come up to me after that, like, well, are you back now? Are you back now? And I had to tell them all, no, this was just a one-time thing. And it kind of was one of those things where I wanted to come back, but I was really so proud of that match with Sadist. And I was just really, you know, honored with how much attention it got and how it was all put together. And it was kind of like, you felt like you're on the top of Mount Everest. Why would you want to jump down to a hill and start the climb all over again? And like I said, it took about 9 months before I finally figured, like, I just need to do it. And one of the main motivating factors was my wife. I got to be honest. She was like, you're driving me nuts. You never leave the house. Go back to wrestling. And I said, yes, dear. So that's kind of how it started.
So that's a good scapegoat, too, is like, well, I want to take some time off. But the wife, she told me I had to get back into wrestling. So I guess I might as well enjoy it.
Yeah, she was very much of the opinion of, you're driving me crazy. Go be with your friends so you're not driving me crazy anymore. And I was like, anything for you, my love. And so it all worked out.
It's different for you now coming into like 2016 than it was in your first run. You got a family now, and you actually take your family on the road too. Is there any really good road stories from this past year?
Dude, there's too many.
Right.
Oh man, it's a trip, man. Trying to take four kids down the road, you know, 2 hours one way or something like that. But they love it. I mean, it's so funny. For Christmas, my daughters all asked for wrestling girls. So when they woke up Christmas morning and they had like Natalia and Becky Lynch and all these girls, they were on cloud nine. It was the best thing ever. And I'm very lucky that all of my children very much love wrestling. My son's actually an amateur wrestler right now. He's 13. And then my little girls are 7, 3, and 2, and they love watching wrestling. And, you know, they like to put on the YouTubes and watch daddy wrestle. And they like to come to the shows too. So, it's a little difficult cause you got to find a babysitter and stuff, you know, now that, you know, my wife does ring announcing and I'm wrestling. And so we kind of have to make sure that there's somebody there with them. But we've kind of worked it out. I think we worked out all the bugs and the kinks this year. So
correct me if I'm wrong, though. I mean, I believe that your household isn't necessarily a fan of AC Riley. Is that correct?
My 7-year-old daughter hates your guts. Like,
that's true.
Just cannot stand you. She's went so far as to say, I like pretty much all the wrestlers, Dad, except for AC Riley. He's a jerk. And so, yeah, she's not, I mean, maybe 2017, your resolution should be to win her over. I don't know.
See, I don't know about that because that actually transitions to my next question because, I mean, honestly, I would consider that my most proudest moment of 2016. So transitioning to asking you about that, what would you say is your proudest 2016 moment, you know, getting back in the ring? You mentioned that it was great to wrestle Ari Daivari July 4th. Is there another one that you're saying that it's like you look back and like, that's one of my best moments here in the 2016 year?
Oh man, there was, I mean, I don't want to sound braggadocious here, but I mean, there was a lot. You know, the ones I think of off the top of my head was going and wrestling in Canada for the first time ever, actually going to another country and wrestling and seeing the different styles and the different psychology of wrestling matches. Another one has to be the best match I had all year was Stadium Mania in Green Bay with Sadist as American Violence against the Dojo Boys. That one was just, I remember my exact words after the match happened and me and Sadist were walking to the back. I think I said something to the along the lines of, well, that was a grand slam, you bunch of MFers. And so, yeah, it was, that was a big one. And then winning the WPW title, in Green Bay. I mean, that company's done, has stuck a lot of faith in me and I really appreciate it. And, so there's those ones, but then also, you know, going and doing WrestleFest for Tony Scarpone and Pro Wrestling Blitz down there in Illinois and Juliet was huge. I mean, you know, you're sitting in the locker room with guys like the Sandman and DDP and you're just like, why am I here? This is nuts, you know? And, so those are a few of the bullet pointed ones. And anytime I got in the ring with any of my friends, you know, guys that I haven't worked, you know, in so long. And then, you know, it's kind of like, you know, trying on an old pair of pants and they're like, ah, they still fit. This is cool. So, yeah, definitely. Those are my favorites.
Favorite moments of 2016. Maybe you'll have some coming up here this 2017. What can we expect from Bulletproof Ben McCoy this upcoming year?
Expansion, a lot of expansion. I want to get out and, you know, I think this last year was very much a proving year to me, just as much as it was me trying to prove to everybody else that I was back. I was also at the same time proving to myself that I deserved to be back and that I was good enough to be back. And now that I have, you know, the year that I had, which I am extremely grateful for, I got to work with amazingly talented guys and, you know, that obviously helps. And so I'm looking at 2017 and thinking now I can kind of take off the safety, you know, the training wheels and really go hard. And, you know, I would love to get everywhere and anywhere I could. You know, I definitely want to try to get overseas if it's possible and, you know, just really expand, the Ben McCoy brand and have great matches, just have great wrestling matches with everybody. And I'm already excited. I have a great one coming up, right off the bat in January against Joey Avalon, first time ever. We've never wrestled each other, and I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's going to be one that if you can make sure you go to WPW in that day, you don't want to miss it. Ben, before we let you go, how do people follow your journey on social media? How do they get a hold of Ben McCoy online?
Well, I finally got on Twitter through the help of Jason J and my son. Gavin, I'm finally on Twitter. You can find me at Ben McCoy 825. And then also on Facebook, I have the Ben McCoy official page. For my friends who know me, I have my personal page. They can kind of check that out. Some of my fans are on my personal page too. I have a lot of great fans that are they're very much more like friends to me, and almost some of them are even like family to me. And so some of them are there, but yeah, that's where I'm at right now. I still haven't gotten to the Instagram or the or the Snapchat yet, but my son's really hounding me about that stuff too. So.
Alrighty, Ben McCoy, thank you so much for talking with us today, sir. Breakout Wrestler of the Year of 2016, and here's looking to 2017.
Absolutely. Thank you guys very much for the honor. I really do appreciate it, and hopefully next year we'll get Wrestler of the Year.
All right, joining us now is our 2016 Rookie of the Year. We are joined by Logan Lynch. Logan, thank you for being on, and congratulations.
Well, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate getting this awesome honor from you guys. It's nice to get some recognition from not only fans, but the Grapple Talk podcast as well.
So well spoken. This is why he got the Rookie of the Year. Logan Lynch,
so
man.
Humble.
Logan Lynch, man. You've been killing it in your short time in the ring, and great 2016. Not even including the fact that you got to go do some ROH stuff. Tell us about your 2016 and what made it so special.
Well, 2016 was obviously my first year in this great business. I've kind of started getting booked regularly in January, so got the full year to work with. Just a couple highlights. I know I was on Grapple Talk with you guys a couple weeks ago and talked about a little bit of it, but got to go to Canada in September. Mm-hmm. You mentioned I did the ROH seminar in October. That was pretty cool. Won the WPW Titletown Championship in August, the inaugural winner of that. And then one of the highlights we didn't get to talk about, because it just happened, was at the beginning of this month at the ACW show in Oshkosh, I was actually in a six-man scramble match with Bull James, formerly Bull Dempsey in NXT. So that was kind of my first match with a so-called name, if you want to put it that way.
Well, in most pro sports, they always talk about this rookie wall. When is he going to hit this wall? Did you actually find yourself hitting the wall at any time this year? Because, man, you were killing it like week in and week out.
I hopefully I haven't hit it yet. If I did, I blew through it, but I'm not planning on hitting it anytime soon. And really that's a credit to, I would say, the people that helped me along the way, not only my trainers, but all the vets in the locker room who've just constantly been giving me good advice. And, also, you know, you have to be willing to take that advice and kind of run with it yourself too. If you close your mind off to what other people are saying, you're just going to be stuck in the same rut. So it's continuing to take that constructive criticism and just use it to make yourself better, I think, personally.
Definitely. So, you know, just going down the list again, you've wrestled in Canada, so you've wrestled internationally. You've wrestled here in Wisconsin and in Minnesota, you know, primarily. You've had the Titletown Championship belt. You've wrestled with the name. You know, all this in your first year. I mean, not many rookies can really say that in their first year they've gotten to do all that stuff. So, I mean, like you were saying, that you kind of probably blew through that rookie wall, because in most cases, you know, you're getting the stuff that most people would essentially be having handed them, maybe beginning their fifth year, and not all in 1 year. So I mean, that's pretty impressive, but at the same time, it's something you definitely have deserved, because you keep working, man. You're doing great stuff. I mean, the match with you and Sadist, ACW, I mean, I was kind of surprised that was the first time you've ever encountered each other, because you guys felt like you were naturals against each other.
Thank you. That's definitely one of my favorite matches of the year. He's been in the business for a long time, 7 years or something, I think. And yeah, this was the first time we've been able to cross paths. And it was just, we had kind of that instant chemistry that people talk about, where as soon as we locked up, it was almost like it was something special. And I really hope that we get to have kind of a high profile match sometime in the future with the two of us, because I think we can do some really, really cool things.
We've had a lot of rookies on Grapple Talk before. We've had like over 100 episodes, so we have to, you know, find guests sometimes. But Logan, the one thing I want to ask you, and one thing that always comes up when we interview some of the young guys, you know, you've been in for, you know, this is your first full year. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what you kind of learned along the way. What's really important for maybe other guys that are just training right now that haven't stepped into the ring yet as far as their first match? What's important for them to know, that so they can continue to progress and have a year like you're having this year?
That's kind of a tough question. I'm sure you've heard a lot of different answers, a lot of the same things, but I guess the one thing that I'll say is you just need to take advantage of your opportunities. And sometimes that might mean you have to make the opportunities for yourself. Going to Canada just kind of came about on a little lucky thing. Thomas Walton III, TW3, as most of you know, kind of just put out a feeler like, hey, I'm going to Canada. You know, I got an open spot in my car. Does anybody else want to go? And it was like, you know, I want to go. So sometimes it's just being in the right place at the right time, but also taking that opportunity for yourself, because you never know where that, you know, what that's going to lead to. And then that could lead to something else. And soon everything snowballs and you just had all these awesome experiences. But if you wouldn't have taken the time in the first place, or just kind of sat at home and said, you know, I don't really want to do that, you're just kind of screwing yourself over, to be honest.
And to add to that really quick, I mean, I think that's the impressive thing in itself, though, is that there's so many rookies, I feel, that essentially that they have this opportunity. Hey, I'm going to Canada. Who wants to come with? And they're like, I don't know. I kind of like my little comfort zone. And I feel like, you know, you're breaking that mold by willing to say, yeah, sure, I want to go to Canada. I want to, you know, get myself out there. So, you know, that hats off to you just with that, because so many people would be more than content in their first year to just kind of stay quiet and maybe it's a wasted opportunity. But here you are saying, you know what, screw it. Why not go to Canada and learn something?
Yeah, exactly. And you talked about staying in your comfort zone. And, yeah, that'll work for a while, but if you don't try new things, you just kind of become stale. And if you don't try something, you're not going to know if it's going to work. And you might come across something that the fans or maybe other workers or something that really gets over with everybody and they love it. And then it's something new you can add to your own repertoire. So you need to constantly keep trying new things, and not everything's going to work, but you need to be willing to try it to at least find all these new great things or great experiences.
Oh, Logan Lynch, 2016 is basically in the books. There is no off-season in pro wrestling. You're right back at it in 2017. What can we expect from you going forward?
So going forward, I want to keep getting better at everything in the ring stuff, obviously. But one of the main things I want to focus on in 2017 is kind of more character development, including kind of maybe going, well, not maybe, I will be having a new look coming out in 2017 at some point. And I think that's really going to elevate me even more, I would say. I'm not, you know, trying to get a big head here and saying I'm already, you know, high up. But at this point, I would think it's fair to say that, you know, I'm a guy that people kind of know who he is. He does well in the ring, but the character isn't quite as much as it is with other guys. So that's one thing I really want to focus on and get that whole package together, so that way when somebody sees me, they say, okay, I know exactly who Logan Lynch is. I either like him or I don't like him, but he's entertaining. And that's kind of what I'm going for, main thing in 2017.
So for people that want to watch your character development that maybe can't see you at every show, how can they follow you on social media?
On social media, we have Facebook. Just look up Logan Lynch. You'll find me on there. Twitter is @TheLoganLynch.
Awesome. Well, once again, congratulations on the Rookie of the Year for 2016, Logan, and good luck to you at 2017. We'll probably see you down the road sooner or later.
Sounds good, and thank you guys again for this awesome award, and we're looking forward to a good 2017 and everything on beyond that.
So well spoken.
Going down the list here for our End of the Year Awards for 2016, we are joined now by one half of our Tag Team of the Year. We're joined by Pauly Tomaselli of Hardcore Impact. Sorry about that, Pauly. But Pauly, thank you for joining. Thank you for joining us for this acceptance speech, so to speak.
Oh God!
So, Pauly, one half of the Grapple Talk Tag Team of the Year for 2016.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. I'm honored, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, Craig and I, we just like to go out there and do our thing and beat people up. So the fact that you guys took notice and gave us this award, it actually means a lot.
Well, 2016 was a banner year for you guys. Pro Wrestling Blitz, Tag Team Champions, second time around. BCW, you guys dominated that scene. What was the catalyst this year to make sure that 2016 was like the perfect year for you guys?
It's funny. It actually happened in 2015. Mm-hmm. Craig and I wrestled the Dudley Boys. And after that match, we were let down, you know, because really when you think about it, when we found out we're working them, we were super excited. It's going to be great. And we're, you know, it's going to be awesome. And it wasn't that great. The match, to be perfectly honest with you, in my opinion, sucked. And as 2016 was rolling in, we found out we were working the Bullet Club. And Craig and I had a conversation going, we need to kill it with these guys. And something clicked. Something clicked. And 2016 just took off, and it shows. You can see the progression as us as a team, that this was our year that we went, oh yeah, we're a real tag team now. And it's funny, even when we're putting stuff together, we're coming up with ideas. Funny story, even, I mean, today, I was talking about, you know, possibly changing our theme music or something like that. And I was like, hey, how about we use this? And he goes, dude, I was just thinking about that same thing last night. So it's weird. We're very in tune with one another now, and it's awesome. So it all started, though, with hating our match with the Dudley Boys.
Speaking of being in tune, checking up on Hardcore Craig's website, you guys go way back, 2004 at Mid-American Wrestling. Just talk a little bit about what that chemistry is like between you two. Why do you guys gel so well together?
Well, it all, like, yeah, you said 2004. I was a year in the business, and I was actually teaming with Tony Scarpone for Carmine up there, and we had to work a program with Corporal Robinson and Craig. And I remember sitting there just, like, pooping myself, going, like, I have to wrestle these men. Like, it wasn't, like, kids or people my age or guys a couple years old. Like, these guys are men, you know? And I just remember being petrified seeing him and Corp, like, standing across the ring from me. And they both took great care of me. And Craig, I always had a mutual respect for Craig. And then, I have to say it was about 2012, maybe? Yeah, I think it was 2012 we started teaming up, and it was this guy, Rob Henderson, out in Indiana. He liked both of us and wanted to bring us in. He's like, I want to put you guys together as a team. And we're like, okay, cool. Like, we know each other, but we didn't really know each other, you know? And but again, there's that mutual respect. And I think that's what a lot of, like, the chemistry between Craig and I is, that mutual respect for one another, to where neither of us try to cut each other off or talking or things like that. Like, we listen to one another, and it's we're very like-minded when it comes to things. So the fact that, you know, we get to team up and then two people thinking alike and you're on the same page, it just works. You know, it's like a good marriage or a relationship or a friendship. You know, when you're like-minded with someone, it just works, and it's just awesome.
Yeah, definitely. So for any tag teams that are listening right now that are, you know, listening to you talk about what it's like to tag with Hardcore Craig, what would you say is among the most important thing that a tag team should know, you know, to become an ideal team like you and Craig? You know, what would you credit to be the most important thing to being an effective unit?
Talk to one another outside of wrestling. Craig and I actually have a really good relationship outside of the business, where we don't just show up to a show and go, oh, hey, partner, what's up? Nothing, you know, like, we between phone calls, text messages, jokes, it's not just all wrestling. I mean, we do, you know, family time together with my family and his family, and, you know, just anything, man. He's literally, and this is so cliche to say, and I don't mean to do that, but he's literally like a brother to me. You know, especially since I'm my last tag partner before Craig was my brother. It just kind of fell into this whole other thing, you know, so it's just cool, man. But to be successful, you can't just, you know, like I said, you can't just show up and be tag partners because you have matching gear. When you have matching gear, that doesn't make you a tag team. You know what I mean? You have to build that bond, because, again, you know, wrestling, you know, it's a work. We all know that. But you're still trusting another person with your body, you know, 90% of the time, 100% of the time. So to have a guy that has your back all times in and out of the ring, knowing that, you know, if you're putting something together or something sounds shady, don't worry, man, I'll stop it. You got to, you know, it's just something like that. So I would say just actually build a real relationship and be like-minded with one another. You don't have to wrestle the same style, but learn how to mesh and compromise and say, oh, you like this, well, I'm going to try this, and how about this, and how about that, you know, and, you know, talk, communication. Again, it's really weird, but it's just like any other relationship in the real world of boyfriend, girlfriend, or, you know, any significant others. It doesn't matter. Just have a real relationship, be friends, and go from there.
Can't agree more, Pauly. 2015, you saw the Dudley Boys. 2016, you saw the Bullet Club. 2017, you're kicking things off right, taking on the War Machine. Tell us a little bit about what to expect from Hardcore Impact next year, along with your big matchup in January.
Well, I can't wait for January 13th for Bruce City Wrestling. This is going to be a huge show. Look out for Hardcore Craig and I to knock the... Can I swear on this show?
Of course, go for it.
oh, look forward to Craig and I knocking the shit out of these two guys. And he goes, to us, they're nobody. They're, well, not nobody, but they're no one special and they're no one different. We all put our trunks on the same way. So it's going to be a very hard fought, hard hitting, explosive match. And I can't wait. I literally can't wait. It's only a few weeks away now. And I just, I'm ready to punch people or how fiercely to bruise is mouth punching time. It's going to be mouth punching time tonight. It's going to be fun.
Well, don't punch anybody at Fridays. We know that you're going there next, but don't punch anybody there. Hold on a little
bit. We'll be good. We'll be good. It's a family thing going on next tonight. So we'll be good to go. But, 2017 is going to be, it's going to be very impactful. Okay, that's all I can say. See what I did there? Hardcore cool. Impact.
Yeah. Well, you gotta throw in that one. So, hey, Paulie, hey, thanks for joining us here on Grapple Talk tonight. Hopefully, enjoy the rest of your 2016. We'll catch you in 2017.
Awesome, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And, again, thank you for the award. Craig and I really do appreciate it.
Tag Team of the Year, Hardcore Impact. Make sure to follow them on social media. Paulie Tomaselli at P. Tomaselli and Hardcore Craig at Hardcore Craig. Simple enough.
Easy enough.
Joining us now is our 2016 Workhorse of the Year. Very well deserved. And it was definitely quite a competition. But, hey, he worked hard to get the achievement.
Nice.
See what I did there? Joining us now is TW3. Thank you for joining us, sir, on Grapple Talk. And congratulations once again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys, and thanks for the honor for all the everybody that voted. I appreciate it.
TW3, 2016, big year, obviously, for you. We saw you, Water City Champion, the first in ACW to do that. Also got that ROH seminar, among a bunch of other things that you got to do.
Got to go to Canada.
Got to go to Canada, that's right, and you also have a tour, I think, coming up in January. But before we get there, talk about your 2016 a little bit.
Man, 2016 was crazy. Yeah, I won the ACW Water City Championship, first champion ever. It was really cool. I won numerous championships. I went back down to Illinois to FCW, Frontier Championship Wrestling, and won their heavyweight title. I was MEPW middleweight champion. I think I've done everything. I won the NOW title again, and I've got to have really good matches with a lot of good guys. The Ring of Honor thing was great. I even got to be on WWE again, and that was something I didn't know if it was going to happen again after 2010. So it was really just a really, you know, blockbuster and, you know, a blessed year for me, I'll say, because I got to do a lot. And, 2016 was only the beginning, because it looks like 2017 is going to be even better. So, I did a lot, man. It was great. And I did. I worked really hard to get to the places that I got to and traveled to. And Canada was amazing. I can't believe I even got to finally go. These guys that have been in the business years have never been. And, I mean, it was just such a, an amazing trip and a great journey. And I learned a lot there. And the fans in Canada are amazing as well. So, yeah.
You know,
2016, man, big for me.
Yeah, TW3, you know, you're one of the guys, when you hit the pavement, you hit the roads, you always got somewhere going, you always have a story. You always are very good with your road stories. What was, like, the one road story from this year that you're just like, I can't believe that happened?
Let me think. Probably that trip to Canada. Canada was a really weird trip. We drove up and we drove to North Dakota, and we were going to stay there for the night because Canada, where we were going into Winnipeg, was only like another 2 hours. So like we'll just drive the next day. We're ready to leave. And first there's Kaz Carter was on the trip with us. And first Kaz gives me a call. He's on his way. And we're waiting, me and Logan lunch, and we're sitting there and we're wondering, where the heck is Kaz? Kaz finally shows up 3 hours later than he should have been. First, he forgot his bottle of vodka that he wanted to take with him. And then he realized he forgot his passport. So he had to turn around and go back to Milwaukee twice. And then we get to North Dakota, and we go out for a little bit on the town. And I put my passport in the door of Darkchild's truck, or our car, and the next morning, we can't find my passport. We sit in North Dakota. We drive around for hours trying to figure out what we're going to do and how we're going to do this. And, obviously, we found my passport and I got in. But we looked everywhere. We went to the bar that we were at. We went and looked where we parked the car, went back to the hotel numerous times. Eventually, it was turned into the station, and that's how we ended up getting to go to Canada. Otherwise, honestly, guys, I'm not going to lie to you. I told them, put me in the trunk, and we're taking me across the border. Because you know what? I doubt they're going to look in the trunk. We got a letter of invite, and, you know, it's Canada. I don't want to miss this. We're already here. And then there was the whole, well, we could just leave you here at one of the guys' house we know, you know, in North Dakota. And I'm like, no, if we don't find my passport, we're putting me in the trunk and we're going to Canada. It's just that simple. And I was gung-ho on it. But we found my passport, moral of the story. And it was just crazy because so many different stupid things happened before we even got to Canada. So, well, yeah, man, quite the experience. And when I go to Canada in January, I won't be losing my passport. It'll be in my pocket the whole time. No matter what, so we won't have to worry about that again.
Well, good to hear that you don't have to worry about you don't have to entertain the idea anymore about sneaking across the border. So you mentioned Logan Lynch, and you guys had a phenomenal match at Stevens Point a couple months ago. And I just remember that you guys came back. You know, you tore the house down. It was arguably one of the best matches on the card, probably the match of the night. And I remember there were so many people just coming up to you guys individually and just saying, "You guys are too good to be here." What's that like to just put on a great match, just go out there and work and, you know, just grind just like you are, and then just come back and you're like, you're too good to be here. What the hell are you still doing here?
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because there are people that are going to argue that fact still about me being, you know, 167 pounds and, you know, soaking wet and just my work isn't what it should be. But then, you know, this year it turned around for me, and a lot of those same people did give me those cheers and were saying the same thing, like you said, like, you're too good to be here. Why are you still here? And that felt great. I'm not going to lie to you. Logan Lynch is probably, and I can't say enough about him, he's one of the best new workers in Wisconsin. The kid's got a future ahead of him. Great body, great mind for the business, and just a solid worker. And for them to say that to him and say that to me, it was just great, dude. To hear from my peers, especially, because, like, it's one thing for fans to say certain things, but when you hear that from people who have been in the locker room for that long, or, you know, people who have been around the business forever, like, that's a really, really big, you know, it's a chip taken off of your shoulder, because I always look at when I go out there, I have something to prove, because there's always been those promotions around where guys like me, we're too small. We just don't do enough in the ring. We're not entertaining enough. We're not enough character. And this year, I proved to people, especially by winning this award that we're talking about right now, I proved to people that I belong where I am. In the 10 years that I've been doing this, I have definitely changed every attitude and every perspective of what people thought I was going to be. So, I mean, it was really good to hear that stuff. And, you know, honestly, I'm not going to say I'm too good to still be in the Indies, but I am going to tell you this. 2017, I'm about to shock more people, because by the end of the year, I will be somewhere, and I will be on TV, and I will be a mainstay somewhere. And I guarantee you that, because that's how much harder I'm going to work. I worked hard in 2016. I'm going to work damn harder in 2017.
Perfect transition, TW3. We want to talk about 2017 before we let you off the hook. Obviously, you have that January tour in Canada. Talk a little bit about what we can expect that you can at least tell us at this point.
Jason Kincaid and I are going to hook it up. And, man, I am such a fan of that guy's work. Mm-hmm. And he just got signed to the WNN too. So that's going to be pretty awesome. Danny Duggan and I are going to be in a match together, and Danny and I have beat each other up on this side of the border, on his side of the border. And that should just be a hard hitting, you know, classic match between the two of us. I'm in a rumble. I'm in a six-man tag. It started off as I'm going to go to this tour and I may get a few matches. And all of a sudden, it's grown into I'm on like four or five matches on this tour that are like main event-like type matches. Canada's going to be amazing. I love Winnipeg already. I can't wait to visit Calgary and Saskatchewan and all these different places I've never been, and it's just going to be an amazing experience, and I'm just going to soak it all in, and everything that I learned, I'm going to take, and I'm going to bring back to the States, and I'm going to apply it, so.
Definitely. So for anybody that wants to follow the career of TW3, how do they do that on social media before we let you go?
Facebook.com, I believe it's Thomas Walton 3, and Twitter is Thomas Walton and the number 3. My YouTube page is youtube.com/Thomas Walton and the 3. Again, it's the 3 I's. Honestly, I've been, that's pretty much it. I have Instagram too, but I don't use it very often. If they follow me on one of those, they'll find my Instagram. That's the best way to follow me though.
Well, TW3 2016 was another good year for you. Hey, congratulations on winning the Workhorse of the Year award here on Grapple Talk. And man, knock it out of the park in 2017.
Oh, for sure, guys. Thank you very much again.
TW3 taking home the Workhorse of the Year award really speaks a lot because, hey, guys, Workhorse basically means that they're working, you know, harder than anybody else that we've at least seen, and means a big deal, I think, to me. I mean, sometimes,
maybe,
you know,
not working.
I'm going to re-say that. That sounds stupid. All right, 3, 2, 1. TW3 taking home the Workhorse of the Year award, you know, one that I can definitely say I have quite a bit of respect for, just because, you know, that award, we kind of crafted that more or less to give recognition to those that were doing a lot of traveling, you know, doing all the social media work, mm-hmm. you know, doing everything that they can to make sure that the business is staying good in their areas, and I think TW3 was very well deserving.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, when that award started off, it was kind of a tip of the hat to the guy that maybe wasn't necessarily Wrestler of the Year or Rookie of the Year, but, you know, a guy that was, you know, grinding, you know, really hard, you know, mm-hmm. in the independent scene. And, you know, TW3 is definitely a guy that when you think of Workhorse, he definitely fits the bill for that.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. And Workhorse of the Year sounds a lot better than Grinder of the Year.
Grinder
because,
of the Year.
We actually might get some flack if we start calling someone a Grinder of the Year.
Yeah, and then we'll have some, like, Tony Hawk will call us up and be like, hey, man, why don't you vote for me for Grinder of the Year?
And be like, Tony Hawk, you haven't grinded shit in years.
So that's why that's not called Grinder of the Year. Moving on along, guys, we got another award that this one took quite a bit of time to discuss, but I think we definitely made the right choice, and it was in our backyard, the Feud of the Year, guys, and we actually decided to go with Sadus taking on Devlin Kane for the Feud of 2016 here in RCCW in La Crosse. Guys, this feud was literally phenomenal from the start to the end. I mean, let's be honest. I think it outdrew names, and that never happens on the indie scene.
Oh, it definitely outdrew names. I mean, here, you know, this started back in February of 2016. You know, here, you know, Sadus came down to La Crosse and took on Devlin Kane for the heavyweight title of RCCW, and then at the same night walked away with the belt. That was unprecedented, especially in RCCW, and especially in really any place. How often do you have a guy that comes in to a new promotion walks out with the heavyweight title? Not many people.
Nope.
So sure enough, you know, these guys went to war so many times. They finished their war in a casket match. And here's the thing too. Sadus walked in to RCCW as the villain, as the monster, so to speak. But then when they went into not even just the casket match, but the month before they were at a singles bout at the anniversary show, both guys were getting cheered because just everything that they've done and every, you know, all the punches, all the body slams, all the spears, you name it, everything that went into it, the fans had a mutual respect for both guys. So it was kind of hard to, you know, really want, oh, I want this guy to win. It's like, well, I also want that guy to win as well. I mean, you know, this is definitely a feud that everyone was talking about. You know, at the same time that there were three names on a card, these guys outdrew them. People were coming to see these guys, not the names.
Yeah, when you look at a feud, there's one thing that you really want out of a feud, and that's to pop a territory.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what these guys did. We had two guys who've been in the game forever. Never locked horns, by the
never.
Way. Never. Never even crossed paths.
They never crossed paths, but everybody was saying that they should, and then finally, just by luck, they finally crossed paths.
Well, actually, you booked it too, so you can.
But I mean, by luck. I mean, same time. If I wouldn't have been there, maybe that they would still be doing. Oh, we should work sometime.
But getting back to the point, though, you popped the territory. We saw crowds get bigger because of this matchup. But you had three matches, and each one was better than the last.
Yep.
You know, like, I didn't have a chance to actually be on hand for the casket match, but that's all everyone was talking about for like a month.
Yep.
Here in La Crosse was like how good that casket match is, and it really goes to show you that. Sometimes thinking out of the box and not necessarily having a very long program, but having a program that has a definitive beginning and a definitive end could really pay dividends for territory, for a promotion, for two guys' careers, and exactly that's what you got out of this feud of the year.
Yeah, the best thing about it, too, was, as Riley was kind of talking about, it was a dream matchup. I mean, you talked to both Sadus and Devlin Kane behind the scenes. You talked to Devlin Kane on this side of the state. You talked to Sadus on his side of the state. Both guys were always like, I want to wrestle this guy. I want to be in the ring with this guy. Mm-hmm. Finally happened. It turned into magic, and, you know, with that casket match, I mean, fans were on the edges of their seats. Hell, they were standing up most of the time when I was able to be out there and watch it from the announcer's booth, and it was incredible. It was really cool to see, and it was one of the first times, like you talked about, popping a territory. You know, you saw these guys basically outselling names, and like I said, you don't see that often. It was really special to see, and kudos to them. So our feud of the year for 2016 going to Sadus and Devlin Kane and RCCW. Congrats go out to both of them. Well, ladies and gents, we are moving on along with our Grapple Talk End of the Year Awards. And coming up next, we're doing our Social Media Celebrity Award. And this one is no stranger to our award system. They were actually our 2015 Woman of the Year. Stacey Shadows is joining us here tonight. She did get enough nominations on our post to win the Social Media Celebrity Award of the Year. And Stacey, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you, guys.
See, the social media award for everybody that is listening, so we did this post on the page of, you know, people that, you know, if you're pitching ideas to have us help consider, you know, consider who was going to win these awards. And then as a result, anytime somebody nominated somebody, that counted as an award for this award. And
so many, and, there's and a lot of awards
Stacey,
in that
sentence. Yeah. Your name popped up so many times on this thread. I mean, you can scroll down, you see your name pop up just like just about every post. So, I mean, people like you. You're a popular person, apparently. How's that feel?
That's awesome. I'm such a mean character. I'm surprised that everybody likes me so much.
It is definitely true. You're always spitting hot fire at people out there at ringside. 2016 was a great year for you. Take us back. Like, what was your favorite moment from this past year?
Oh, man.
On the spot.
I don't even know if I really have a favorite moment. I mean, there's been so many. Have just been all over the place. I think if I had to pick something, it was probably getting the opportunity to wrestle for Girl Fight. Mm-hmm. That kind of took me a little bit more out of the Wisconsin area and brought me to Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio. So that was probably the highlight of my year.
Speaking of your 2016, one thing that we actually had a really, really tough decision on was the feud of the year. And I know your name and Sierra came up multiple times. I mean, you guys tear it up everywhere you go. I know you're going to be in lacrosse here in January. Talk about that.
In February.
You know, is it February?
Is it
February? I got
February.
That screwed up. But talk about a little bit, you know, working with Sierra, just your progression together in the ring and what you guys have really done together.
With girls coming up, it's kind of difficult because I don't know if like some girls think that like they see it on TV and it looks like it's a really easy thing to do. Wrestling is certainly not easy, and there's not a lot of girls that are very athletic and they don't ever really last very long. Well, Sierra is not that type of girl. She's very young. She listens really well. She is athletic, and working with her like the first couple times, like, a lot of people just said to her, hey, you know, just listen to her. She'll tell you what to do. And that was the main thing that she needed to do, and that's exactly what she does. So that's why her and I work so well together.
I think it's interesting, too, because, you know, for the long – we've talked about this over the phone a couple times where, you know, back in the day, you know, when women's wrestling was really small, and especially in Wisconsin, really the only women's wrestlers were you and Melanie Cruz, and – 9 out of 10 times you guys were wrestling each other or you were wrestling, you know, guys because there wasn't any women talent to face off against. So,
right.
So fast forward now to 2016, you know, there are women becoming to start wrestling here in Wisconsin. And as a result, you kind of had to take that role as, you know, almost the mother hen, so to speak, of, hey, you know, welcome to the flock. But now I'm going to start whipping you into shape by beating the piss out of you. So what, you know, what's that like to kind of be in that new role of, you know, instead of just being, oh, I'm a women's wrestler facing off against another woman at the show. It's kind of, I'm doing that, but I'm also teaching the next generation, so to speak.
I actually kind of like the mother hen role. It shows that there's like certain promoters and certain people within the wrestling business that mentored me from day one, like that they instill so much trust in me to help the girls that are new. And so that makes me feel really good, like not only as a person, but it makes me feel really good about my work in the ring. So, I mean, and there is like Thumper's Dennis, he's got like Frank DeFalco probably has like four or five different girls that are training right now that are just about to round the corner and ready to have their first match. So wrestling in the Midwest is going to get pretty crazy because Melanie Cruz and I are not the only girls anymore. That's for sure.
One thing that I remember saying when we were doing Grapple Talk a few months ago that I thought was really cool, just browsing through Facebook and seeing that you actually won the heavyweight championship in Main Event Pro Wrestling back, I think it was in May. Talk about how cool that was. I mean, being able to just be the face of a company like that, especially, you know, kind of showing how far women's wrestling has really come.
That was really weird for me, to be honest. I was so used to, you know, having, you know, just one title, you know, that women can go for. And then having the opportunity to go for a heavyweight title, it's like, okay, now I am like a wrestler, not just a women's wrestler. Now I am a wrestler. And so that was very comforting for me to have that as a label, to be able to go for other titles rather than just a women's title.
That's definitely true. 2016, great year in the books for you. 2017 is coming up here in just a short few days. You always kind of figure it's
you're
like,
not wrong.
It's weird. I'm not wrong. No, yeah. It's just kind of weird. But what you got coming up in 2017? Where can we see Stacy Shadows in the upcoming year?
I will be at Bruce City Wrestling. I have dates for the entire year for ACW in Oshkosh. I will be at Main Event Pro. And I think that's all I can think of right now. I have plenty of dates open, so we'll see where the year takes me.
Perfect. So for anybody that wants to contact Stacy Shadows, the Grapple Talk 2015 Woman of the Year and 2016 Social Media Celebrity of the Year.
You forgot her awards, didn't you?
I almost forgot the year, but I remembered the awards back to back. So anybody wants to contact Stacy Shadows, how do they get a hold of you on social media?
They can get a hold of me on Twitter at Stacy Shadows, or on Facebook. They could, I don't remember. I think you can just look up Stacy Shadows. I think that's the only athlete page that you can probably find me on. Yeah.
Perfect. Easy enough.
At least it's not like, hey, trying to find Alex Riley and then you get a bunch of pages from that other guy.
The wrong Alex Riley.
Exactly. The wrong Alex Riley.
No, I think he's the right one.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for being on Stacy Shadows. Congratulations on the social media award. And we look forward to seeing what you do in 2017.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Stacy Shadows, our 2016 Social Media Celebrity of the Year. Once again, congratulations to her on that award. Moving on along to our Be on the Lookout Award. You know, this is
what is this award?
Essentially, this award, it's recognizing the future of the professional wrestling business. You know, maybe this person didn't have a phenomenal 2016, but somewhere at the end of the year, you know, this guy got it, or this gal, you know, this person got it, and all of a sudden you're thinking, man, this person going into 2017, look out, you know, this person's gonna just soar. So this is essentially that award saying, you know, maybe they didn't have the greatest 2016, but hey, 2017, the sky's the limit for this person. Yeah, so in this case. Yep. The Be on the Lookout Award goes to Cal Creed of Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm really happy for Cal. We've had a chance to work with him quite a bit in RCCW, actually. We kind of had our little faction going there for quite a long time. But it is crazy to see the progression of this kid. When he first came in to RCCW, he had the look. We saw him, remember,
yeah.
Jesse, we were talking about it a little bit, too. When he was in the ring, it's like he has a look. I mean, he has that amateur background. I mean, this guy can fly. Like he gets it. But he still had to work on his psychology a little bit. I mean, he wasn't 100%, you know, ready to go in the ring. And then all of a sudden, you know, he has these matches. Ryan Cruz, remember?
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about that match, right? It was this awesome match. This kid at the time, Trey Blackman, nobody knew who he was, but he had this great match with Ryan Cruz. And then all of a sudden, you know, he comes back to lacrosse, and it's like, I don't know if it was his confidence maybe a little bit or being able to work in different areas, but all of a sudden, like, the light just turned on for Cal Creed. I mean, this kid has been killing it lately. He's still kind of weird to hang out with when you're behind closed doors. But
yeah.
But regardless, though, I can't speak enough for how good he has been in the ring. I mean, a couple of months ago, he had the chance to take on Nathan Sensation at RCCW. I think it was either the pre-show match or the opening match on the card or something. And it was arguably the best technical match I saw at RCCW on that night, and that speaks volumes for how young Cal is, and in his persona in the ring is growing so much. I'm being able to watch it myself, and I really think 2017 could be a year where we see Cal take that next step and start getting, you know, bookings at bigger promotions and taking on some of those big names, a la like a Ryan Cruz that he did previously this year.
Absolutely. I mean, I've known Cal since about 2013 when he first started getting in the business and, you know, was in the training process. You know, he's fresh out of, you know, high school. He had, you know, he had the high school wrestling background. He's a good kid, very quiet even back then. Shocker, I know. but at the same time, like, you know, you see that, you know, he's a hard worker. He's willing to learn. You know, even now, like, you know, he's been in the business since 2013, but even now he's attending the academy in Minnesota. Yep. That's run by Sean Devary and Ken Anderson because he wants to learn, and that's what you need to do. You know, you're never done learning in professional wrestling, and here's a guy that says, hey, I have this opportunity to, you know, attach this to my resume, and that will, you know, the sky's the limit as far as, you know, what that happens. So he's doing that. He's wrestling. You know, he's killing it this you know, at the end of 2016. I mean, I don't know if it's just the name change, but it just seems like any time he puts on the Cal Creed persona, he's just so much more comfortable in the ring.
There's something to be said about confidence when it comes to anything in life. When you find that confidence in yourself to do what you do best, it shows, and it pays off dividends in anything you do. And that's exactly what Kyle's got right now. He's got his confidence. He's got his swagger. He's feeling good about where he's going, and he's putting the pieces together. And that's what exactly you want out of someone for this award, for someone who's really hungry in this business, is someone who's going to put those pieces together, and they're going to be better. And it's a lot of it has to say about, like, who you learn from, where you've been, the lessons you take on the road and stuff like that. And Cal is, man, he's an open book, and he's a sponge, and he just absorbs all this stuff. Yep. And he's going to kill it. Yep. He's absolutely going to kill it. And as you guys alluded to, the sky's the limit for this kid. I'm definitely proud to get to know him. Yeah. You know, he's a fun kid, even though he's awkward as hell. But, you know, it's okay.
I think that's the charm of Cal Creed, though, is that he's an awkward kid, but that's what you like about him, that he is awkward.
Yeah.
So let me ask this, guys. Mm-hmm. So, you know, him and Ryan Cruz had a great match, and that's when you kind of saw the beginning of the success of Cal Creed. So let me ask you this. In 2017, who's a guy that you want to see him wrestle that you know that he's just going to make
you love
with?
These dream matchups. Like, I love this question matches. Always comes out of you,
it's,
AC it, Riley.
That's the thing. Like, it's so great because it's a hypothetical situation, but then it gets you to think. It's just, man, you know, this will be great, and then now I just really want to see that match because I think it lives up to the hype.
Anyone.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough question, but, you know, you think when you try to sit down and just kind of think of who you'd like to see Cal Creed work. I mean, he's so young still in the business that I think I want to see him against all kinds of different matchups, whether you're talking about ring psychology, having those technical matches, maybe being the underdog, maybe being the bigger guy somehow in a matchup, whether he's mm-hmm. taking on like a Devin Drake or something. I think that's, you know, a pretty a tough question to answer just because there's so much talent around
him and Airwolf. Those two guys would
that'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, two young guys, definitely chips on their shoulder, confident as all get up. They travel the road together. You always see them together, too, when you go to shows in
that's
Minnesota.
Right.
That'd be a fun match.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I also think, you know, I'd like to throw in our previously named Rookie of the Year, Logan Lynch. I think that would be a pretty good matchup, yep. too. Just I there's something about seeing, like, two young guys work in the ring because it seems like when those kind of minds match up, they always want to take it to the next step. You know, they don't want to be looked at as these two green guys, you know, that are just learning in the biz. They want to try to show off, right? Yeah. So I think that'd be a pretty good matchup, too.
You know what match I want to see him in?
What's that?
I want to see him against Chase McCoy. And the reason is because I feel like I learned so much from Chase McCoy when I wrestled him in Milwaukee that I think that Cal will have that same experience learning from a guy that, especially this past year, has had a great year as well.
That's true.
That, you know, he was down at Harley Race's camp in Missouri. He was one of the top six of the best students. Hurricane Helms basically jumped up and applauded him in the camp and just was wowed by Chase. You know, he's a great guy. He's a great veteran. I think that him and Cal could work magic based on the fact that Ryan Cruz and Cal Creed had magic between each other. So I really think that even though, you know, Chase McCoy is a bit of a psychopath, hence the moniker, I think that him and Cal would have a phenomenal match, and I'm excited to see that match happen.
Definitely. Cal Creed is our Be on the Lookout Award winner for 2016. Again, 2017 could be the year of the Creed. I guess we'll find out.
And then make sure, if you would like to follow Cal Creed's career, make sure you follow him on Facebook. You can find him at Cal Creed. You just search that on the search bar. And I'm pretty sure his Twitter handle is the Cal Creed. So make sure to follow him on there as well.
Yeah, one E, not two, and the.
So now, guys, we're moving on to two pretty prestigious awards. Mm-hmm. All right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're the final two awards.
They're the final two awards.
The whole reason that you're listening to this podcast in the first place.
Because of our two. Because of the Woman Wrestler of the Year and the Wrestler of the Year, which also could be a woman. I mean, both of these could be women. We don't know that.
Yeah. We're just saying that one of them for sure is a woman, and the second one might be a woman as well.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know. Yeah. I mean.
That's why you're listening.
Yeah. It's like, sure. So.
Anyways.
We'll kick things off. We're going to start with the Women of the Year Award. Guys, this one. This one was kind of tough, but I think we made a pretty good decision here, and you know, somebody that I think has some bright 2017 to look forward to, because well, they might be on TV on a regular basis.
Definitely, I mean, so many women here that were just killing it on the Midwestern scene. It was tough, like you alluded to, because there were so many women in the scene doing amazing things, but. This one had an absolute standout, and our 2016 Woman of the Year, it just seemed wrong to choose anybody else because our Woman of the Year is Heidi Lovelace.
Well, Heidi had one of those banner years where it didn't matter where she was always the talk of the town in any promotion she was in. We saw her at WrestlePalooza earlier in the year. Had a fantastic match with Eric Cannon. It was one of those matches where you just felt it. You know, the crowd was on their feet the whole time. Killed it in Chikara. She got her name out there internationally as well. And it paid dividends at the end of the year when she signed her name to a WWE contract.
That's right. It's really exciting to look forward to, guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen Heidi on countless occasions over at First, obviously. I mean, she's been around the Midwest scene. It always kind of makes you just feel warm inside when you kind of know that one of the Midwestern, you know, workers that's been at it for so long gets that WWE, that, you know, like golden ticket. Like it's really cool to hear and really cool to read and see.
It's definitely going to be a bittersweet moment, I'll have to admit, because, you know, while Heidi Lovelace will be an addition to the WWE roster, and it's going to be amazing to see, you know, what she does with that golden ticket, as you described it. But I will admit that it's going to be so weird to just be in the Midwest scene, because, like, you know, back in the day, she, like, you know, the entire last year, etc.
I like how you said back in the day.
Back in the day, which was a Wednesday. Yeah. But anyways.
Back in the day, Nick, you remember like 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, you remember 5 years ago, in the day? But no, it you know, Heidi Lovelace was a staple, especially in the Indiana scene. You know, just you couldn't go, you know, a single show with it really not seeing Heidi Lovelace in some booking or some way, shape, or form. So it's going to be weird to, you know, be able to see her on the national screen, but at the same time not see her, you know, in your own backyard. So, I mean, you know, congratulations to her for everything. It's an exciting new journey for her, and I think all of us can agree that, you know, she deserves it. Absolutely.
We'll definitely say, though, if you are in the area this upcoming January, you do have a last chance. You know, she has a little bit of a farewell stuff on here. We have First coming up. Is that the 15th of January, I believe, right?
Yeah, Sunday, January 15th.
So Heidi Lovelace will be there, you know, for a little bit of a first farewell. It's going to be one awesome show, by the way. I mean, I don't want to get too off subject here, but, I mean, mm-hmm. You're going to have – that card is stacked, dude. Like, I can't even begin to explain just how many awesome matches are on.
We talk about first farewells. Who's she wrestling?
What?
Who's she wrestling?
I don't even know. I don't know that she's advertised.
Do you want to know who she's wrestling?
Yeah, tell me.
Heidi Lovelace versus Aria Davari.
That's right. For the championship.
For the WrestlePalooza championship.
Ah, that's right.
Which has everybody wondering what's going to happen, because both these individuals have been signed by the WWE. And 9 out of 10 times, you're like, oh, this person's getting signed. Just like at Freelance, you know, Mustafa Ali defended the Freelance title, and you're thinking, okay, he got signed. There's going to be a new champion. In this case, both contenders are going to the WWE. So we might see the WrestlePalooza championship, you know, at WWE 205 or on NXT, one of the two.
You know, it can't go wrong. That. This is my prediction, all right?
What's
I'm looking
prediction?
Into my magic eight ball.
Seth already. Rollins cashes in?
No. All of a sudden you're going to hear, no chance. Here comes Vince McMahon doing his walk. And he's like, first wrestling, guess what?
What?
You're all fired. And he just fires everyone.
He buys first wrestling.
What about Rob Justice? Because he's always trying to keep the peace and try to never tell everybody to go home. And so is he going to be
he's going to get flipped off by about like 1,500 people.
So is he going to be helping Vince, like, with security detail, I'm asking?
Nah, probably not.
All right.
Well, there you go, I just remember seeing that, too, because I actually was looking at the card just a couple of days ago, and I was like, Heidi Lovelace and Davari.
Yep.
freaking way. And then I completely forgot about it. But anyways, it's going to be an awesome match.
Shout out to Chris Huffman for being the PR director for First Wrestling.
Yeah, right.
Because like, yeah, everybody was asking him, was like, hey, so as far as this match is concerned, this match is still happening. I know everybody's concerned because they both got signed, but this match is still going to be going on. I was just like, you might as well just put that as your resume, man.
WWE has always been good with honoring bookings, so I mean that's kind of part of that. A little bit.
Well, you can follow Heidi Lovelace on Twitter at Heidi Lovelace, at least until maybe she has to change it to Heidi Lovelace WWE or something like that.
Yeah, but they're very good about making sure like past accounts are still kind of honored and like all the followers are still on the new.
Well, in the meantime, make sure to follow her on that account just so you know where to follow her in the future. But you can also find her on Facebook, Heidi Lovelace. Just do a search and you can find her fan page there. But yeah, congratulations again to Heidi Lovelace. Well deserved for Woman of the Year. For 2016.
And again, you know, make sure if you have that day open, it's a Sunday, January 15th, you know, try to go to First Wrestling and watch Heidi and Aria work.
Soon
it's going
to
be an awesome matchup. It's $20, guys, to go watch this if you pay before you go to the doors. Doors are $30, so you're saving that's $10 of beer money right there if you get your tickets beforehand.
That's basically two PBRs.
That's basically two PBRs
right
there.
But they do that sale, though. They're like, was it $2 or $3 for PBR? I remember PBRs were cheap when we got on
there.
The
three PBRs. There you go.
Three PBRs. Yeah.
You know, if you get three PBRs in the building, if you get your tickets early, and you can do
slice
that by just
pizza.
go to First Wrestling's Facebook page by just searching First Wrestling. Or you can search WrestlePalooza like I did and find the event and figure it out that way. But Heidi Lovelace, congrats again. Go out to her for our 2016 Women Wrestler of the Year. Speaking of the year, guys, here's our biggest award.
Nice transition.
Yeah, I know. I'm good at those. Wrestler of the Year, guys, okay?
This was tough.
So this was really tough. This was very tough. If we look in previous years, Joey Avalon won it in our first year. Beer City Bruiser Matt Winchester won it last year. And this year, guys, we're going with a good friend of the Bruiser.
Tag partner.
Silas Young is taking home our Wrestler of the Year award this year.
Milwaukee's worst back-to-back Wrestler of the Year for Grapple Talk. It's quite an honor, at least for their tag team. You know, maybe that's something they'll bring up at Ring of Honor when they're wrestling. But, you know, this was tough because of the fact that there were so many wrestlers that were absolutely killing it. And, you know, just I do want to say that, you know, two notable people that we had considered were Ari Daivari, who had an amazing year as well. Minnesota has been signed to the
Cruiserweight
WWE
Classic, had that
Cruiserweight Classic in the inaugural event. Also now on WWE 205 Live, you saw him in a gentleman's duel against Jack Gallagher.
Blowing up the internet.
Prince Mustafa Ali was also for consideration. He had a great match with Mr. 450 in his hometown. It was a great reaction.
That's
as
too
well
bad for, what happened, Mr. 450 in that match.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Though. Yeah, knee, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, you know, Silas, he was absolutely killing it this year. I mean, again, no disrespect to Aria and Mustafa Ali and any
or
other
any,
wrestler.
Yeah, any,
but I mean, like, here's a guy that wrestled not only in Canada, also wrestled in Germany for WXW. He was in Ring of Honor. He was in the tag team tournament in Milwaukee.
Yep.
You know, got to face off for the tag team titles. He got to wrestle against Jushin Thunder Liger at Final Battle. You know, he was just absolutely killing it this year. And on top of that, going to independent dates and killing it there as well. And all his hard work's paid off, guys, because 2017, he's got an exclusive contract where he can't wrestle in the United States except
for
Ring of Honor.
Yep.
So, I mean, really now, the only independent wrestling dates he can do are overseas.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you go back and look at this guy's 2016, I kind of did that a little bit. I mean, it's hard to find, you know, the go through his full, you know,
full year
match list. Yeah, it's hard to go through that, but I mean, looking at some of the notables, guys, I mean, he was taking on premier opponents left and right. I mean, the list goes on and on, and I think, you know, when you look at that body of work, and then when you look at just the big push at the end with Liger and then getting that year exclusive contract with ROH, it's like, how can you not give it to this guy? I mean, all of his hard work's paid off. He's been around forever, and one of the coolest things too is that he had such a feel for that Milwaukee fan base. I mean, he roots, you know, sticking to his roots and coming back and paying his dues and paying his respects to that while being this blown-up star on the Ring of Honor scene. So cool.
Hey, here's a guy who coming back from a major knee surgery not too long ago.
Right.
Really got himself back into shape. He was always in good shape. Always a very athletic wrestler. He hasn't missed a step at all this year. And you go to those notable names. Adam Cole challenged him for the Ring of Honor Championship.
Yep.
Took on Shibata.
Shibata, that's
who's
correct.
Like one of the hottest guys in the international scene right now. He's one of the guys Ring of Honor actually really trusts. with the New Japan talent to help them get over here in America. He's a guy who's really been on the rise for a long, long time, and it's just clicking. It's just clicking to that point. He's about, like, probably 35, 36.
Something like that, yeah.
Usually they say your prime's about 37. We haven't even seen him yet in his prime. 2016 was a great year. 2017 is going to be absolutely insane for this guy, because if he's getting a push now, he signs an exclusive.
Yep. What does that mean?
You're looking at Silence Young probably, more than likely, in the main event picture
exactly.
in Ring of Honor. Coming in 2017.
Well, that's what's interesting about it is because, mm-hmm. as you just alluded to, I mean, he already had that match with Adam Cole a few months back, you know, the title match, and to think that he wasn't under this exclusive contract at that point, that means that this next year might only mean bigger things for him because ROH is like, no, dude, we need to protect you. We don't want you getting injured working some of these indie dates. You are only working for us now. That's got to mean something big, you know,
well,
coming
look,
up for
look at Samoa Joe when he was under the loose contract with WWE. You know, he was doing stuff at NXT while he's still able to do independent dates. But then once he became, like, locked up exclusively, just the sky was the limit. So, I mean, he was doing amazing things while he's still allowed to do everything else, just like how Silas has been doing on the independent scene. Now that he gets locked up for a year, I mean, like we said, the sky's the limit. We don't know what's going to happen, but, I mean, main event pitcher, that seems like a probability.
Definitely. So Silas Young, our 2016 Wrestler of the Year. Again, a real tough decision. I mean, when you're talking about the people that were in consideration with Daivari and...
Oh, especially with Daivari getting that... Getting a fucking match out of Ho Ho Lung. I mean, Ho Ho Lung fucking sucks. Daivari actually got a match out of this kid.
Yeah, that's correct.
I think we're all still a little sore about that happening.
No, yeah. Probably 99.9% chance he actually got his contract because he got a match out of Ho Ho Lung.
Yep. That could definitely be true. But you know, things are looking. I mean, what? Just talking about 2016 in general. When we're talking about the people that were up for consideration for all of these awards. I mean, guys, it was tough, you know, and I think that's a good thing because that means that we had a bunch of different, you know, workers to choose from, and not let alone the list that we saw on our Facebook post. I mean, you just saw so much diversity in that. I think that's great. It's really cool to see.
Definitely. One thing quick I want to say about Silas is, you know, his work ethic that we've talked about. It's really cool, too, because you see that pass along to his kids as well, because I remember that I was over in Milwaukee in September for Fourth Wall Wrestling. We were tearing down the ring, and then all of a sudden, you know, we had his kid helping us out. And at this time, his kid, I think, was like 7, and just wanting to help out any way he could, you know, even if he was trying to carry a sidebar that he, you know, was a lot bigger than him, of course, but he wanted to do anything he could. And then all of a sudden, with Silas and his wife's like, hey, bud, we're gonna go home, he wanted to stay and help us tear down the ring more. And I think just that blew everybody away. Is like, that kid's got a great work ethic. Because how many 7-year-olds are like, yeah, I want to work a little bit harder? You know, they're just like, okay, I'm a kid. So I think that was like one of the things that blew me away was just, you know, here's a 7-year-old kid that wants to help tear down the ring while some other people don't even, you know, bother to lift a finger. So, you know, hats off for that work ethic and transferring over to the next line of the Silas Young bloodline.
And if you want to keep up to date with Silas Young, social media stuff, go to Facebook, just search Silas Young. I think that's how it is nowadays. Like, if you just go to Facebook, just search them, you'll find them.
You don't need to type in the link because that's what the search bar is for.
Yeah, that's what the search bar is for. But if you want to follow him on Twitter, it's at LastRealManROH. So no Silas Young in the Twitter username, LastRealManROH, the Twitter handle. Keep up to date with everything that Silas Young is doing in 2017 because, like we talked about, guys, I think you can expect some real big things from him coming up next year.
Yeah, there's always two words that seem to be interchangeable. It's always either quality or quantity. 2016 in the Midwest, we had both of them when it came to an independent wrestling scene. 2017 is going to be killer. Be on the lookout, man. Make sure you go to your shows because you never know who's on that show. They could be the next big thing in pro wrestling.
They could be the next, like, rookie of the year for Grapple Talk. You never know.
Absolutely.
You don't. I mean, you don't. Do you?
I haven't gone to any shows yet in 2017.
I don't know.
It's still 2016.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's still 2016.
I'm just saying, man.
Yeah.
We got to figure out something to give these people for these awards.
We got to figure that out.
I'm still thinking Pro Image football cards.
How about this? How about we go to break and we'll figure out what we're going to do and we'll wrap things up.
Alrighty, fine. We're going to wrap things up. Still hoping for those Taco Bell gift cards because I just want to go to Taco Bell. I want to have a reason to go there.
Got Taco Bell in the brain. Yeah. Taco Bell Thursday.
But we'll talk more about Grapple Talk, wrap things up, and we'll do that coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Keeping you up.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
keeping you up.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
Hey, this is Dave Dynasty from the Dave Dynasty Show. Hey, check out our weekly podcast where you get my take on wrestling headlines. I answer listener questions and I interview your favorite independent wrestling stars. You can find us at www.davedynasty.com or look up the Dave Dynasty Show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Thanks for your support.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RB Enterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerwig.net, pro wrestling since 1997.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire,
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with This Week in Wrestling History, and we go, hey, whatever happened to you? Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, IndiePowerRankingsIPR.wordpress.com.
Talk about your Psalms, talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says...
Stop watching your neighbors get undressed. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is...
Download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar. It's not rocket science.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Guys, a great 2016 in the books. Looking forward to that 2017. Putting you both on the spot. We're doing closing comments from both of you. Okay. Jesse Von Rudin, AC Riley.
Oh, boy.
What are you guys looking forward to most in 2017? Not even wrestling related. Let's get wrestling off the mind, guys. We've been talking about wrestling all weekend.
Mind, yeah.
We're going to try to do it. It's hard to do.
Oh,
what are you looking forward to? 2017, anything in the world. Maybe a favorite TV program. Maybe the McRibs coming back in January. I don't know. What are you guys looking forward to?
Stop.
Yes! Stumped both of your asses.
No, I looked at him because usually he wants to go first.
Oh,
so,
go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was waiting on you to go first because I kind of need a minute.
I don't know. It'd be kind of cool. Like, there is a couple things I really want to do in 2017. Pay off the medical bill on the dislocated finger.
That'd be good.
Like, that'd be great.
You know, finish paying off student loan. Get that done. Like, basically, it's not much. You know, like, I took like a year and a half off of paying it. That's how high, like far ahead I got on it, you know. So it'd be kind of really nice to get those two out of the books. I've been like, man, go to shows. Have fun. Like, I don't know, shave my beard maybe. You know, just like.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, you don't want to see
it. I don't want to see that.
You don't want to see it.
Every time you shave your beard, it's scary.
That's
it basically is. But it'd be one of those things where 2016, we saw a lot of really good wrestling. We saw a lot of guys really step up. 2017, it can only get better. I don't, you know, like a lot of people already have a lot of fear that. You know, with the talent drain that the WWE just to sign guys and stuff like that, like, there's going to be no one on the indie scene. Well, fuck that. You know, because it's been like that for over 15 years, and there's always been someone who steps up and becomes the next guy.
Absolutely.
And there's always going to be that. So make sure you get out to your local wrestling feds, go on road trips, grab buddies. It doesn't matter if it's like 2 hours away, 20 minutes away, 5 hours away, two states away, whatever. Go to shows. Have fun. Enjoy wrestling, because this is like the best time right now to be a wrestling fan ever.
It really is.
You know, talking about what you were saying about, you know,
about shaving my beard?
Not shaving the beard, but just like the talent drain, so to speak, because, you know, to add to your point is the fact that, you know, you look down to Illinois when Mustafa Ali was getting the sign by WWE, you know, the guy that was really stepping up into that plate was GPA because, you know, here he was, you know, just – absolutely killing it. That's why, like, he was like next for consideration of breakout of the year, you know, along with Ben McCoy, because of the fact that here's a guy that, you know, maybe was doing things here and there, but he just seemed to almost like float up to the main event picture because of the fact that Ali was leaving. But, you know, I think a lot of it was because of his hard work, and then as a result, Ali was leaving, and then is all right, this is your spotlight now, because, you know, I feel like now that the Illinois scene is in good hands with a guy like GPA, you know, now in the main event spotlight. So, you know, that's the thing, is that with a talent drain, it doesn't mean that, you know, the promotion is going to be dead. If anything, it tells the newer guys, hey, this spot's open. Here's your opportunity to fill it. So as far as 2017 for me, you know, would be nice to maybe have a job that pays a little bit better than mine. And to be totally honest about it.
Have you thought about getting a paper route?
Maybe a paper route. Maybe that's in the cards for AC Riley. It'd just be nice to have some money left over after paying bills. That's all I know.
I hear that.
But as far as wrestling goes, I know we weren't going to talk about wrestling. But,
that's fine.
I mean,
as if you didn't want to talk about wrestling, if you had something else.
Yeah, no kidding. Talk. What else are we talking
about? Yeah, exactly.
About everything else.
This isn't everything else talk.
Yeah. But I think for as far as wrestling, I think the thing I'm looking forward to is just branching out more. I mean, I love the state of Wisconsin. I love Minnesota and everything. But I kind of want to go wrestle in another state just to see what it's like, because I mean, anytime we go to Minnesota, it always seems so different than, you know, than our home state. So ultimately, it's one of those things where, what's Indiana like? What's North Dakota like? What's, you know, Missouri, etc.? What's that scene like? So I mean, that's kind of my, you know, hopes for 2017, to get out and, you know, continue to branch out and everything.
I'm going to answer my own question. I think the one thing that I really want to see, guys, you know, aside from just my personal stuff, like, obviously I want to start wedding planning a little bit. That's not going to be until the end of 2018, but start, like, to get some of that stuff figured out. But when we guys are just kind of talking a little bit, one real big thing that's kind of wrestling related for me, because honestly I'm actually kind of happy with where I am right now, aside from, you know, I got to figure out the wedding stuff, but one big thing for me that I would really like to see in 2017, I'm really looking forward to, is I just want there to be that wrestling scene here in my hometown of La Crosse. Like, I would kill for that to happen. You know, and obviously I want that to happen with RCCW, but I'm just saying, any general sort of wrestling, you know, I want this to become like more of a hotbed. You know, like, we see that in Oshkosh, we see that in Milwaukee. I mean, there's great promotions that run over there every single month, and they draw just crazy numbers, and their fans are so passionate. And we have that a little bit here in La Crosse, but I would just love to see that really grow to something where we're seeing hundreds coming out every single, you know, every other 2 months on a Friday night to catch some wrestling. Because, you know, I think the end game, one thing that we've all kind of, I think, been a part of is, you know, we've always had like almost like a minimum of at least 2 hours of a drive to get to one of these bigger, you know, credible feds. And it would be just so cool for that to happen in our backyards for once. I think it'd just be amazing. And I think RCCW is on the right path to get there, but that's something that I really want to see in 2020.
Still get really jealous when we go up to Oshkosh and that's a 3-hour drive, and someone's like, "Oh man, I had to drive an hour." It's like, fuck off, like,
what?
Asshole.
I drive like 35 minutes, man. Oh, I gotta leave early, guys. I gotta make sure I'm home by 8 p.m. So, because takes me 20 minutes.
That
to
must
get
be
here.
Nice. We're gonna be home at like 3 a.m.
Yeah,
and we're gonna stop like 3 times.
Yeah.
I actually want to add 2 things to my looking forward to 2017 list. No, they're quick. One thing is, I want to see you get in the ring, because how long you've been training for? Basically, as long as I've been in the business for. Because, I mean, in all honesty, if you look at Nick in the ring, like when he's training, he retains everything, even if he doesn't train for like 3, 4, 8. 16 months, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you retain the stuff, which not a lot of people can say they can do. You know, it's like, hey, do a dropkick, and you do a good dropkick. Hey, do a bump, you do a good bump. So hopefully you can actually get a match here soon, because I think, you know, as long as you get in and you do the training, I think you'd be ready. I think a lot of people would agree with me on that know you. The other thing I want to see in 2017, I really want to see Stacy Shadows at her reception. in the shark, the shark,
the full
thing.
Donut, the full circle.
I think it would be fantastic. I mean, I know that her fiance may not be too pleased by that, but at the same time, that's what I want to see.
I want to see Jesse manage somebody just one time.
No,
I think you
want to see
it manage
one time. I
think you got a good mind for the wrestling business. I think that's why everybody asks you for booking.
Yeah,
booking advice rather.
Yeah, I'm fine giving out booking advice because no one actually listens to it. That's great. I really kind of rather see Shadows in the shark gimmick than me managing.
Oh my gosh!
Because like, imagine the Roadhouse is up there,
ripped
off tux, right?
Oh, the ripped off tux.
Showing off the gun. He's got the bandana on. His happiest day of his life. All of a sudden, all you hear on the piano is, "Dunna, dunna, 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 dunna." Here comes Stacy Shadows right down like that.
I really hope that Stacy Shadows is still listening because that's a fantastic idea. See, look at that.
Yep.
You are a great wrestling booker and a great wedding booker.
Absolutely.
If you and AC Riley just combined your heads, locked you guys inside of a room for 24 hours, you could probably come up with the best wedding ever.
There you go.
Or one of us would kill the other one.
Probably
the greatest wedding ever. Greatest wedding idea ever, but only one of us would walk out of the. Of
basically, you'd be the red wedding.
Yeah.
Wedding. But at the same time, you look at Stacey Shadows, look at Roadhouse. I mean, like, you know, two of the people responsible for horsehead hijinks at BCW at the Summerfest shows. So you take horsehead hijinks, but put it in a shark costume. It's going to be nothing but amazing.
For success.
Absolutely. Right.
Well, again, guys, thank you both, obviously, for an awesome 2016. We've got a lot more grapple talking to do in 2017. As we say a lot on this show, get out and support some indie wrestling because, you know. It's a fun time. It's a good time, guys.
Right? And that's the thing too, is like even if you're a wrestler and you know there's a show 30 minutes away that you're not booked on, go see it anyway. That's how you support independent wrestling, is you go support, you know, the show that you support the product, even if you're not on the card. You know, just go out there and show your support because, you know, ultimately as a wrestler or someone in the business, you would want a packed crowd. So why not contribute to that if it's in your backyard?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know what the worst part is, Nick?
What's up?
This podcast went so long. It's 2017, guys.
It's 2017 now.
It's 2017.
Happy New Year.
Totally missed out on New Year.
Well, I guess we'll see you guys on another date in 2017. Right?
See you next year.
See you next year.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
I would say the traditional one. something like that. I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
Beatboxing by AC Riley, not available in stores for good reason.
With Nick Ragnar, AC Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Man, we just got some stuff for the blooper reel, that's all I'm saying.
Our entire podcast is the blooper reel.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.